Okay, we are here in Berlin, and I would say I'm having my guest, but I'm guest here. I'm guest here with Marco and Husnu. Please, can you introduce yourself? Marco, maybe you first.
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm Marco Rosacher, CTO here at Collex. I'm 43 years old and running through Berlin's tech scene for more than 20 years now. Joined Collex roughly four years ago. And it's been an interesting journey, I would say, from the very beginning. But I think we will come to that later, talking about what Collex does and what the journey was a little more. So, yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
First of all, welcome to Berlin. good to see you again. So I'm Husnu. I'm here, one of the tech leads in Collex. Mostly I'm involved in the front-end web part.
That's it. Okay, Marco, maybe you could tell us more about what the Collex is and how you joined basically the Collex. What inspired you to jump on this train? Because I know you as I remember you somehow got in the middle of whole rewrite and whole doing a new concept of Collex, right?
Yeah, let me start off with what Collex does actually. So Collex is an online ordering platform, let's say, easy. We're an open platform that is maybe also different to some competition, but we're specialized in the gastronomy and hospitality sector, I would say. So the idea is that the merchants, right, suppliers, people that sell beverages or food, can give their customers, which is hotels, restaurants, any bars or something, an easy ability to order online. And this has quite some benefits for both sides, because how was it happening before? The bar, restaurant, right? They called the merchant, hey, we have this wedding going on next week. Can you please deliver two more barrels of beer? Well, they picked up and then hang off. And then the next week, there was no barrels delivered. And then they were kind of angry because, hey, I told you last week on the phone, I need two more barrels. So, the person that took this wire phone didn't put it into the system. So, sorry, we didn't know. So it was quite error prone. And also the whole market is not super digital, let's say. Mm-hmm. So like a wholesaler market especially in the beverage industry. And so the benefit for the customer is he can 24/7, right? Because the merchant's phone support is the regular business hours. Mm-hmm. So now, but the bar typically stops at midnight, right? Mm-hmm. So you cannot call the merchant and because you after closing the bar, you will see in your stock, I need to order something. So you need to wait, you need to write it down and call your merchant the next day. So now with 24/7 online shop experience, you can just order at the moment, in this moment, and you will see the assortment, you will see prices, you will see a lot of things. It's an online shop, right, at the very end. The experience that you get on Amazon is something that you get here as well, right? You can shop for gastronomy. The benefit for the merchant, though, is that he gets this order straight into his ERP system or whatever like technical system they have. So there's no one really also making maybe mistakes and understanding what he wanted. It goes straight into their fulfillment afterwards sometimes, which is a huge process optimization. And so we have two types of customers, the one that order, and then we have the merchants themselves that get an online shop with all the benefits behind it. What's important is this is not a venture capital based company here. There's no exit strategy or something. It's a joint venture, mm-hmm. a classical joint venture between Coca-Cola, Krombacher, Bitburger, Rotkäppchen, and Chefs Culinar. The first four are manufacturers, let's say, beverage manufacturers, where Bitburger and Krombacher, they both sell beer mainly. Coca-Cola, I think, is known to everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And Rotkäppchen Mumm, they do sparkling wine. Mm-hmm. And Chefs Culinar, it's not a manufacturer, but they're the biggest food wholesaler supplier in Germany. And so this is an interesting setup, a great setup. And the main idea, let's say, is to, because the world changes, right? Currently, everyone is reducing trying to see where they get to. So the bigger merchants maybe eat the smaller merchants. And what we also try to achieve is to stabilize this whole thing, right? Because with the possibility to optimize your costs, optimize your processes, we can maybe even help the small businesses to stay where they are. Because otherwise, with cost cutting, they would need to shut down. And now with a digital solution, they get maybe an optimization that helps them to also stay. So we're not only focusing on the huge ones, but we also really want to keep helping the merchants as well.
And speed up their process of exactly. getting and delivering yeah. stuff. And then at the end, speeding up the process of the business, which is going in a yeah.
And also the good thing with digital ordering, I mean, if you do a phone call and you order, then you will be typically, you will be asked, okay, what, when is the delivery? And it will be shipped, right? But as we all know, online business, e-commerce, right? You have upselling, cross-selling, all these kind of things. You have banners, ads that you can put onto the platform. So the good thing is that you're, and sometimes also you as a customer, and customer in a sense of I am ordering, sometimes you don't even know the whole assortment, right, of your merchant. You may order because you have a menu,
yes,
typically.
Which is old.
You always order the same things. But maybe you don't even know that this merchant sells more stuff. It could be even non-food stuff, could be glasses, could be something. This is what gets visible. For the first time, you can see, this is what my merchant offers. The merchant can put up some cross-sells, upsells. The industry can put up some banners, right? So it's a classical, let's say, e-commerce experience for the customer, and a lot of benefits for industry and
speed and staying up to date with the newest things which are coming to industry,
yeah, exactly.
particular brands and stuff like that. Back to initial question: how did you came to Qualix? You were mentioning that you are 20 years in tech, and
yeah,
how did you? Came here to Qualix.
I think I wrote an application.
Yes, and
no, I'm joking. No, I think the before that I was working for a company called Lendis. They were doing like leasing for office material, and I was wanting to change. Let's say so. In this point, you need to know that before I was mostly doing startup, venture capital based, right? A lot of risk, right? You didn't know if tomorrow the company still exists, and it's all fine, I need to say. And the when looking for a job, and I found this job offer from colleagues, what I liked is that it's kind of a mix of a startup, but backed by big corporates, let's say. So this joint venture character attracted me. I like e-commerce. I did e-commerce most of my life, let's say. And I think this is how I, like, first of all, got interested in the setup. And it's really interesting and challenging at the same time, because either you have venture capital, right? You have some investors in the back, and sometimes you need to change, right? And if you have joint ventures or corporate startup, right, is also a thing, then you have one corporate in the back, right? And we know corporates are not, sometimes without disrespect, not as flexible. So it's sometimes you
standard
cannot
set
move,
of the procedures and a bit slower.
You
pace.
Cannot move as fast. The decision process sometimes is longer. And here it's interesting because it's not just one behind, it's five.
Right.
So the decision process sometimes takes a little longer and all that. But it was a really interesting setup. And I'm really happy, although at the beginning, it was quite a journey to go to where we are right now, which we probably come in a second as well. But yeah, this is how I joined college, actually. Mm-hmm. And I never regretted it. It was great, actually. And
That you share the passion for the colleagues, definitely, and for the product itself. But it's because of the journey which you passed and how. Back to your topic, dude. I found out yesterday that Husnu was basically not knowing that he was sharing office with colleagues.
That's
this was
really
an interesting
true.
Story.
That is true.
Can you tell us a bit more about that one and how you joined the colleagues itself?
Yeah. First of all, like I mean, back then. before I moved to Berlin, right? I was also working, one of my companies, we were working with this Horecas, what we call like hotels, cafes, mm-hmm. restaurants, right? And we were doing, for example, for hotels, some systems where people can book the rooms, or even we had like really interesting project, which was kind of like loyalty over to app when you order, when you went to, I don't know, like some cafe order, right? You can see as the business owner what your customers are ordering, what are your segments, you know, mm-hmm. that was also kind of interesting for me. But when I came to Berlin, I had like, there were different types of companies that I was working. And so when I decided to kind of like move out to a new journey, and then Colex was in this food and beverage business, that was, I was interested. And like we started chatting with the HR first. Mm-hmm. And then I remember back then that like, there was Nadia, I guess, that I was talking with her. And then she asked me that, wait, you were in the working in this, she said, my previous company, right? Yeah. We were there, like we were sharing your office. Back then, our office was too big. And, you know, like we wanted to share it to other companies. And one of them was Colex, apparently. But this was kind of home office times that I didn't had a chance actually like even meet with them, so we weren't mostly in the office those days, like and yeah, that was like super coincidence for me, right?
Destiny.
Then yeah,
someone would say destiny,
then it becomes okay, let's go continue with the talking, how it goes. And then we met with Marco, and like Marco is kind of like super easy to communicate guy, exactly as like at the same time, he started to, you know, like sell the company, you know, that you feel that kind of like connection.
Vibe.
I think things will be kind of cool.
Yeah, I remember also my interview when I was interviewing for the colleagues after some time when you joined, I also joined. And I remember interviewing and exactly this, what are you mentioning? Yeah. And talking about the colleagues and the journey and everything, definitely. So Marco, maybe when you came, a bunch of people onboarded at that point. I remember I was the guy from well, let's say from side, not the Colex employee, and there were a lot of obstacles at the beginning. How did you manage to grasp those all people which you had had in front of you, and to start rebuilding whole complete platform in some let's say new technologies and the old ones, and to set up all the teams properly? What were the challenges there, and can you maybe tell us a bit more?
I think it's always when you join a company, first of all, it's all new, right? You don't know the terminology, you need to get into the platform, well, you make up your mind before and see what they're doing actually. Mm-hmm. But I think the worst thing that you can do typically as any kind of person or manager or whatever, think that everything that you've done before works. So there's some people that come with a blueprint. They say like, okay, I don't care what they do now. I will, this worked in the past, and we changed this now just because I think this works. And so what I would say makes more sense is to first have a look, talk to people, understand what the problems are, what is the good things, what does work, what does not need to be changed, let's say. And so typically this takes a couple of months to figure out, okay, where are some problems in the team maybe, or problems in the platform, or any processes or something. But he was crazy because the tech team, let's say, was not big. I think it was six people. Was one QA, one mobile, one front-end developer, I think two backend and one infrastructure person, so six. And for the complexity that's actually in the platform, so I mean, we have integrations, deep integrations with ERP partners with 22 ERP partners. I think back then it was 15. There was already, I think, 50 merchants on the platform. There was a web shop, there was a mobile app. So that all is you need some people to at least maintain
that.
So the team, at least for maintaining, in my opinion, seemed a little small on the one hand side. On the other hand, when I joined Collex, it was matured for, I think, 1.5 to 2 years already. So it was founded in 2018, and I joined 2020. And without, again, any like disrespect, the shareholders, I think, they hired an agency, they gave them the business case, and they let them implement something. And it turned out that, as it's always, if you have no time, you're forced to build something, then you may, and this was happening here as well, you may even choose the wrong tool, let's say, right? Then it will be a tough situation. I mean, typically, it's a good idea in startups to just do something first of all. You don't need to think too complicated. You need to validate the business case first. If that doesn't work, why should I invest in a perfect solution? And then after a year, I need to shut down the company. So, so the approach was good. But the situation I found, it was that the team was relatively small for the complexity that was there already. Back then, we had two products even. And also, there was a lot of problems with the existing platform. There was a lot of customer success cases. A lot of things were unstable, let's say. And it was the biggest thing at the beginning to figure out, okay, what is all these problems coming from, right? Because obviously you see the problems that were like visible, they were brought to customer success or support. And then with talking to team, with talking to departments, with seeing and trying to figure out what all these problems are, then it like it turned out, let's say, that the implementation done back then, I wouldn't say hot needle, it's a little disrespectful, but it didn't really, the tool didn't fit to the use case we had. So it was not really well working, let's say.
And for the expansion further, it wasn't, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, it was a nightmare because the I do believe that with a couple of merchants at the beginning, the whole system was okay-ish, stable, let's say. And the typically, if you have like less people on a platform, you don't also see the small problems. Because if no one is using a certain area, you don't see that. So the more people use your platform, the more you see all the pieces that don't work. And so the there was a couple of options back then, I need to say. So we thought about installing the same e-commerce framework again. We thought about using another existing one. We thought about using what we have and just refactoring what might need to be changed. And this was the one thing. So just seeing how we can cope with the problem. And on the other hand, it was clear that to maintain and manage plus develop the whole platform, we need more people, for sure. I mean, I'm for the whole company, but in this point of time in tech. And that's how we, on the one hand side, we needed we knew that we needed to grow the internal team, but at the same time, the work was still there, right? So this was the point where we worked with a lot of, I would arguably say it was around 20, 25 externals back then.
Yeah,
and so because if you have six people and you want to scale up to 30, 40, it takes some time because you need to hire them first of all. That takes time. They need to form a team. They need to be onboarded. They need to understand the platform. So before all that kicks in, surely we still had problems and we wanted to change the platform to something that would bring us into the future. And so what we did is at the same time, we hired like externals, right? That could like fill the same gap. But at the moment when you grow the internal team, then the externals are reduced.
Are reduced.
This is what we, exactly. So and there's one anecdote or not anecdote, that is important and it's good because at this point of time, in my opinion, the things could have ended up different, I would say, because if we would have been venture capital based, I would say at this point of time, no one ever would have thrown any more money in that company. They would have just said, doesn't work, and let's stop it.
Now sitting here, we know that this was a good decision. For me, point is here, if I can ask you, Marco, and my question was for the moment when you started onboarding externals, but this is the part of story which I also didn't know. I would like to hear more. So basically your first time when you came into the Collex was more analyzing, gathering information, collecting everything, the platform, everything, what were the pinpoints and everything. And then after that, analyzing phase, you came with three proper solutions and represented them to shareholders. And then you probably wanted to rewrite some of the things, which at that moment was probably, oh, we did 2 years of job, oh, we need to take this to the trash can. At this point, we know that that was a good move because of the platform and everything what was implemented till now. But that phase was crucial, definitely, for Collex itself.
It was a turning point, and this is what I wanted to add on top of that. It was a trust as well from the shareholders, because as you said, if you're presenting them, hey, by the way, there was something that was invested already, but it will not bring us into the future. And you know, the phases of building startups is always investing, scaling, monetization, right? And the investment phase kind of was done, so it was about growing, but the whole tool, the whole platform was not ready for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And making them aware that there's another buy-in needed to actually be able to grow is something where I felt a lot of trust from our shareholders, because they could have said, oh, no. We're not going to do it. So this was really cool. And it took one and a half years, I would say, before we then in 2020 launched a new platform. And ever since, we're growing really well. We got back the trust from customers, merchants, shareholders, like all of that. We do NPS surveys regularly, and they are really from minus NPSs to, I think the last one was around 70-something, which is really good already. It is great. It's a great base. And still, and also, this is what makes it interesting, right? Greenfield startup building, I call this ninja mode. You remember that, right? So some people like it if they come into a company where there's nothing. Mm-hmm. Then they just do something,
building.
And then smoke bomb, disappear, because they don't care about maintaining, about all the further problems. And it's also good. This approach at the beginning is making a lot of sense. But I like to
More broad.
See also in a more strategic. Long term, how can we stabilize the whole thing? How can we make it successful? And this is honestly a different story. And it's just like building up something. And
even if it takes more money, more time, more people.
It is more difficult.
More difficult,
because,
definitely.
It's a different story to make something. I mean, making hypergrossers is different, but stabilizing an existing thing is different than building something from a greenfield. And again, I'm happy with all the support we got from the shareholders, we got from the management back then.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important because, as always, I think, and this will come also to our relation later on,
yeah.
I think a lot of good things are based on mutual trust, I would say.
Yes,
right?
Definitely.
Yeah, so this is great, and that's why I also love being here. I love working with you guys. And
same from our side, definitely.
Cool.
Husnu, maybe you can touch upon the Marco. When you and me joined, I'm not sure who first joined.
I think you first.
Maybe 2 weeks before or something like that. It was a bit messy. As Marco mentioned, they had an internal team who was backing up, and the team was assembling with the support of external guys. How was that period for you also there during that time, if you can remember, Enrique?
Yeah, I mean, like, as briefly Marco mentioned, right? So maybe it wasn't exactly the time that Marco joined. Mm-hmm. I think it was 1 year later, Marco.
Yes,
when
Marco
joined.
2020, this was 2021,
yeah.
When we joined, I think.
Around.
Uh-huh. But it was still this kind of like an early period. Mm-hmm. When I first joined, of course, like, the first thing that I did, kind of agree with Marco, this is also kind of works for everyone, right? Also for the freshly graduated engineers.
Mm-hmm.
First, try to understand what's going on there, right? Like, you have some business logic, first try to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will reason why some kind of calls were made in this way, right?
Yes.
But normally what people do, I mean, immediately, I want to change this part. No,
I didn't wrote it. I don't understand it. Let's change it.
So first, of course, like, when I join, I try to understand business logic and why it's done this way. What are we doing? How many applications? Like, what's the code base, etc. The code base was kind of like a bit different. We were moving from one type of technology to something mm-hmm. else. And in that transition period, there were not many engineers, and we kind of like, we were trying to build, I would say, a lot of team kind of we were trying to become a team, right?
Yeah.
Like we were trying to construct that team one by one. So establishing kind of like the processes, team communication,
and getting familiar with a lot of new people on board.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. Most of the time it was for me, I would say I was busy on this point, this kind of
stuff, which later on will lead you in some of the other roles.
There we met with Reyhan, of course. Yeah. Kind of, he was, first of all, you are really easy to communicate, man. It's like from the first day, I remember that, like,
we from your side, because we immediately, how can I say, clicked, especially
yeah,
you
then,
and
then you just dig in, okay, yeah. What should we do, how we can do this part better, etc. Yeah.
And for me, it was like, I remember Marco, it was like 3 months, then Marco extended, okay, Reyhan, we need it for two more months, and then Reyhan, we need you, you are there. And that was like nice part. I also worked before the colleagues for a bunch of the companies, and I never had I think you are the most, how can I say, person who is guilty for that. Marco also has some part that I felt, even if I was external, that I felt that I was somehow part of this story, which is weird a bit, definitely. And I sensed, it's not a critique, that even from some people who were working there, that I was more engaged in some manners. But you were the guy who is guilty mostly for it, because of the team composition, way of working, way of communicating, a way of presenting, way of doing work together, helping out each other on the rough moments, being there when needed, and stuff like that. So I don't know. It was also for me pleasure going in this direction. Marco, how you handled? Okay, internal team. Now bunch of external joined. As we mentioned, we all needed to get familiar with each other culturally. What we know, what is our background, how we do the work, and at the end, how we collaborate with each other, and also how we basically wanted to invest our time and working hours into getting familiar with the platform. I remember there were some smaller problems with people, and I remember also, Marco, for you, the most important part is that you are a normal person, that you are, I will not say easygoing, but that you can handle easily with the people, that you do not come and create problems in team where the problems shouldn't be appearing.
Yeah.
And it's not that you are a technical superman, but rather you would be, let's say, happy with if you are a normal line guy, which can push team to further limits. That was a pinpoint for me, now I remember, even from the interview.
That was a lot of question marks that I need to answer now. I'll try to. So, first of all, I think this is more of a... So the last part, everyone that leads teams at one point, team lead, any head of whatever position, needs to build up in its own like style of leading, right? There's classical top-down approaches. I think in my first company that I worked for, I had the beauty of having a manager that was not cool, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So not knowing back then that I would grow into certain roles, I learned a lot from him,
mm-hmm.
especially
how
not to be. Yeah. So and so I think the thing is that I'm a team member as everyone else. And I'm pretty sure that everyone coding currently is coding better than I would do now, or maybe I did back then. But it's not important, right? It's important that I can benefit or I can coach and mentor into the team with some experience, with some roadblocks that you hit, right? It's not important that I'm the best here, right? It's not that's a classical misperception that the higher you are, the more you need to know. So I always try to... stay on the same level. And at the very end, still, you need to take some decisions that are not nice sometimes. And this is also a part of the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is important. And I think this is more about how you think you come to build a successful team. And this is different. So this is my approach. And maybe sometimes it's not, maybe sometimes other approaches are needed, let's say. But I think here it works.
Depending on the context, yeah.
Depending on context. And for the for the first question of working with nearshore, offshore, on-site, whatever, especially for the near and offshore part, well, there's one approach where you would say, okay, we hire now some agency, some freelancers, and well, they're here, we're here, we do our stuff, they do their stuff, right? So you would tend to say, okay, we give them close projects, they can focus with a team on that part, deliver it, we can eventually have some check-ins, and then we look how it is, we see what it is, which is also a classical approach. But at the same time, due to the fact how I think good communication works, from the beginning, we kind of said that, why? I mean, why would I give you a task that you do in the basement and eventually you come out and tell us, here's the results? I think that doesn't work out that well. So that's why I think from the very beginning, but this is the same, honestly, for every external. It's the same for whatever position and seniority we have. So I don't care if it's a junior, a senior, a mid-level, a team lead, whatever. We need to work together and we need to like have a passion all together. And that's why we think that integrating everyone, regardless of a fully new joiner straight from university or externals, into the team as if they are team members, and as if, for juniors, as if they are here for 10 years already, makes a lot of makes a huge difference in onboarding. Because what happens after a couple of months, you will be more engaged, you will feel more home. And the feedback we constantly got, and this is surely you also change things if you see they don't work out, but the feedback we got, not only in this company but for a similar approach also before, was always that people that joined after the first 3 months feedback mentioned like always constantly one part that they really liked, that they were treated as regular team members from the very beginning. So they didn't get the stupid task or something. No, they were thrown into the whole team with the same task from the very beginning. And I think this is something that people appreciate at the very end, because it I don't need to grow Hüsnü. He knows what he does, right? I don't need to give him like easy task at the beginning, or you, right? Mm-hmm. Why would I give you something to see, to prove yourself? No, need to prove yourself, right? If we hire people, we do it based on a certain pyramid, to see what it fits, and what you don't know, you can learn, right? But you cannot change people.
Yeah.
Right? So this is
maybe definitely the last. I was not, let's say, super technical high guy also when I joined, but I know one quality, which was communication, asking for help when needed, communicating with team members when I have a problem. And I know that that pushed me to much higher pace and velocity and feeling good in my skin because of that one. And yeah. Definitely. Hüsnü, working with me at that period, you are also, I saw you as a, I remember I was telling you even on one-on-ones when we had them, you are man everywhere. And this is the part when Hüsnü is taking initiative. He wanted always to be helpful, to be able to be first on the line when it's needed. And later on that gave you somehow, as I said it, natural promotion to a tech lead. You didn't, let's say, how can I say, I want to be a tech lead, I deserve this one, or something like that. You fought it on the field, I would say it, and deservedly, definitely. Marco recognized that and pushed you. How was this process for you? I know that during that process, when you are on multiple sides, you need to invest more time, you need to invest more energy, maybe a bit more stress than usual employee. How was this everything going on your end?
In my, for example, the company before Collex, I was also kind of like in a technical leadership role. But when I moved to Collex, I said that maybe I can focus a bit, kind of like coding, learn new stuff. I even talked with, like, I remember that in the first interview, I said that to Marco, maybe I might be interested also working a bit with backend and stuff. But he told me that you can't work with backend, but I can give you only like the mobile and the frontend part if you're interested. So I said, hey, why not? But I guess it's kind of like attitude, right? Like when you are there, some things, you know, like it crunches inside you, like, okay, why aren't we just doing this thing? Like, let me do a follow-up there. Let me just try to help. And of course, like, this is a startup. Mm-hmm. Without communication, you cannot achieve anything, because like you're leaking manpower, you have a lot of things to do. The communication is really important. But also, you want to contribute, right? Especially in colleagues, we had a really kind of kind and friendly managers like Marco. Wow. There was Lothar, Susa, now Stefan. And then when you talk with everyone, it feels like, come on, I need to do something to contribute. You know, everyone is contributing. Yeah, I guess that focusing part, then it just changes the direction a bit. Like,
I know that you were unofficial lead for, I would say, maybe half a year, maybe even more unofficial, but everybody was pinging you. Husnu, how do we release? When do we release this one? Husnu, do you know what's the problem here? Okay. Husnu then delegates, wire ups the people with the connects the proper people from the back end or from the front end, talk to this guy, or you help immediately. So you were somehow an unofficial lead for some certain amount of time. Then Marco recognized this one and promoted you.
I can even could even add on top of the story, because at the beginning we had a structure of, let's say, infrastructure, quality assurance, so QA. Back end, and it was called front end back then. And front end was mobile and web at the same time. Mm-hmm. And Husni joined the company, knowing that he also has some like leading background. Mm-hmm. And we have Onur as well. Yeah. That is the team lead for the mobile team now. Part. And I do know, probably you remember as well, that at the beginning, I mean, now we have, let's say, 5-6 in the back end, equally 4-5 in the front mobile, and 4-5 in the web front end. Back at this time, when we were establishing like those reporting lines as well with the team leads, the mobile web was maybe in total 5 people. So you need one team lead.
One.
So, and we had talks, right? We talked back then, because for us it was like, okay, both tentatively would fit into this role of the team lead for front end back then. And before even taking the decision, we talked to both of you, discussing this openly, saying, hey guys, we kind of have a problem, because we need a team lead, and we think both of you would fit. And then to understand what is also the current goal of everyone, right? Because as you said, maybe at this point of time you were cool enough to say, okay, I'll step back a little. I want to focus a little more. And this is also something really that needs to be appreciated, because everyone could have said, oh, I want to do it, right? And but we talked back then that I can see that in the future, as the team grows, it might make sense to split mobile and then web. And so we already at the beginning said, like, I do feel that at one point we will need a specific team lead for the web. And you stayed also with this decision for quite some time. That's why you tentatively did some team lead stuff while the web team was growing. And I'm happy that at one point we could do the split, because it's also logical things into having a team lead for the mobile team and a team lead for the web team. So
yeah, I mean, like when the team grows, like, there are like a lot, it becomes a lot of work for one person, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
But it also, and that's what I wanted to add, it also shows your personality, because as I said, it's not easy taking yourself back in a moment where there's a chance, right? And
maybe you feel that you deserve it a bit.
Exactly. And then, being told that eventually maybe. Something, there's a lot of conjunctive.
And that you continue the good work which you were doing.
Still.
From that point, still, if you didn't took it. Yeah.
Really great. As I do with basically everyone, I like working with people. I especially like working with you.
Yeah, thank you.
I know that especially you are treated sometimes with a little more like, get it done, but
yeah, I would say Marco kind of like, so he, Marco balances this thing, right? Like he's not kind of like micromanager, right? He gives you this freedom, trusts you, this is really important. But at the same time, sometimes like he also checks like, what's going on? Why are we doing this thing? So that's, I think, really important also kind of in the management part, right? We learn these kind of things also. We are trying to grow ourselves.
Yeah, as always, definitely. Then Sandy also joined, the co-founder, then let's say Sunray Colex was on a more, how can I say, two persons. Then at some point, Sandy needed to leave to some other role for our company to support some other for one of our clients. And when we asked you like that, we told you that we can change Sandy with a bit more, let's say, unexperienced guy, but we will support him, of course, during the pathway, during the onboarding first months and everything. And how was that, the decision, for example, Marco, from you to show us the I would say, trust, which we mentioned a few times here also, and that you give us opportunity that you onboard the person and that we continue our cooperation, which we had till then.
Mm-hmm. I think that's easy if keeping in mind what we discussed before. So I mentioned trust, mutual trust at the beginning. And surely at the beginning, it was, I would say, sad, right? Because both you and Sandy were doing an awesome job. And we were a little sad to lose Sandy. But we, as we always had a very open communication, we understood the problem back then, right? And what is better, because I know how especially you back then, and it's Sandy as well, but especially you were also, as you mentioned, it feels sometimes as I'm part of the company. So you were so passionate also, and that makes it an easy decision, I would say, because I know based on the talk we had that, yeah, he's not the most experienced one, but he knows what 1+1 is, so that's yes. Already good. he knows how to start a computer. No, based on that, based on the fact how you described it, you're sitting in the same office anyways, you have a short communication path. I think it would have been more difficult if there would be a location-based separation. Yeah. So the fact that you would be sitting together, you could just talk the same things, why next to home office still on-site office days are great, is something that made us believe that this can work out regardless. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier as well, you cannot change people, but you can change what they know, right? So yes. If I, it's same for me, I learn every day new stuff from any of my colleagues as well. So knowing some basics, especially nowadays with all these online courses and everything that you can learn, I think it's, if you're into that, you can easily in a couple of weeks and months learn something to a certain degree and grow on from there with assistance of somebody experienced. So that was, I wouldn't say no-brainer, because we kind of talked about it as well, but we were saying, well, why not? Let's try. And as we see now, it worked out pretty well. Yeah. And so sometimes you need to take some risks as well. And it's not the obvious thing, because obviously you could have said, okay, Sandy as a very experienced guy as well. Okay. So, okay, now we lose experience, right? But at the end, it's not only about experience. It's Let me bring a small example about football, because now it's the European Masters as well. The Paris Saint-Germain or Chelsea problem, right? So there's people coming in with money, and they're only playing, getting A players, right?
A players, so the most expensive ones.
So you only have people that have a strong ego, that have like, so they will never form a team, mm-hmm. right? It's not the football clubs that win championships that have seven different like A players that are just outstanding. It's not. You have Ronaldo, you have Messi in the different clubs, you have Neymar or some people, Mbappé, but mm-hmm. that's it. Nobody maybe sometimes knows the names of the others in the team, but they win together because you need diverse people with diverse backgrounds, with diverse approaches, because sometimes you're just stupidly going in the same direction and nobody tells you you're going in the wrong direction. Yeah. So I think a good mix of experiences, backgrounds, makes it possible to form a team that can be, even if smaller, be very efficient, I would say.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And Husna, I remember I promised you will get the initiative guy, the super easy going communicative guy. How do you think now from this perspective for the Riyadh when he was coming? I told you that he's culturally fit 100% for the colleagues, if you remember.
Well, before Riyadh, actually, like I would say thank you guys, right? Whatever you are bringing, a lot of value and a lot of focus and effort, whatever you do, right? Even kind of like you are our partner company, we mm-hmm. kind of like, but you made us feel that like you're, as Marco said, external colleagues, employees, right? Because from the day, start from the beginning, for example, we started with you, then Sandy joined, then Riyad, mm-hmm. but you had this ownership, right? We found a problem. Okay, then you were saying that, Husnu, let me take a look. And the other day, I said, Rehan, let me take a look. Mm-hmm. So we care about those mm-hmm. things, right?
Yeah.
This was really important. And also, like, always positive kind of attitude inside the team, because we also sometimes, you know, we need to get back. There are a lot of tasks to do, but we are not machines, right? Mm-hmm. Also, having fun, what you do is important. And I think you guys, kudos on this. Also, you, Sandy, and I would continue with Riyad. Yeah. And he's coming from the same mentality, I would say, because his mentors, I would say, I think you and Sandy, so you exactly kind of give him this mindset. So Riyad, for example, starts to a topic, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say he works in A. But whenever I try to communicate with him, he's always open to communication, right? And I'm just asking it like, hey, man, what do you think about this thing? Immediately jumps there because he's super interested. You know, even if he can help anyone who needs help, like checks the channels, like if it has nothing to do, tries to read some, you know, like one of our firefighting cases or...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is amazing work.
Yeah. It's also something that's important. It's like, it's passion and pragmatism at the very end. I think there's some developers in this case out of experience that are very focused on getting a perfect solution. So they struggle if you sometimes need to do some actions that are just because there's something you need to fix. So you need something quick, nothing perfect. You need something that stabilizes it for the moment. But some people struggle with that. So they're not pragmatic, let's say, or they have difficulties. Because from the inner heart, they want to build perfect solutions. Perfect. And that was always great that you guys are not only passionate, but also pragmatic at every end. And on top, and that's always what I say, you're up for a joke every day. That's cool. And we all know that not every day is flourish, right? There is problems sometimes. There's missing specs. There's things going down. There's quick fixes you need to do overnight and things. So this is all part of the business, as we yeah. know, right? So if you don't understand that this is something that shouldn't bother you too much, then it's a problem. And you were always helpful in all situations and staying pragmatic at the same time. And it's also cool. I think that's also part of the way of communicating and the trust at the very end that we can have a fun on top of all the other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the base. And I think if employees are looking for externals or internals, what are they looking for? They're looking for a place where they feel valued, where they have an interesting task, get paid on a fair base and stuff. And then they like coming to work, not every day, right? Yes. Obviously, but if you stand up in the morning,
they enjoy, like, they
this
enjoy
is a nice thing. This is a nice place to stay, actually, and with all the ups and downs, and then we did a good job as well. And this is also especially part of my role, right, to make sure that we can give everyone an environment. A second home sounds maybe too much of it at the very end, but if externals as well as internals like joining the video calls nowadays or joining the office in earlier days, then it's good, because then you can retain people and you can make them happy. And this is much about listening as well, trying to understand, but at the same time, for everyone, it's important that you cannot solve all the problems, right? That's also something.
Definitely. And the good thing also that you mentioned this one, Marco, when we first came here in Berlin, it was 2022, I think, me and Sandy alone, we were always communicating through video calls. But when we met you live, it's not quite same image, right?
Yeah, right.
No, it's not. It's not definitely.
It's different.
And I was amazed with some findings like that on people whom I was communicating daily, that they seemed to me quite different. And then this, especially this joking from video calls continued through the our part when we were here. I was joking with Hustu, dude, come on, you are always with us for 4 or 5 days. Your wife is gonna leave you, man. You are our private tour guide in Berlin, and your wife is not seeing you at all because of us. And thank you, Hustu, one more time for the first time and for the this time also when we are here. And the rest of the team also, but particularly you are that guy, initiative guy.
But we can't catch up with your hospitality, right? When we went to Sarajevo, it was kind of, you just welcomed us beautifully, right? And don't worry about Tijan, my wife.
Yes.
So I already pre-communicated with her. I said that like 4 days, I'm off husband duties, no more groceries or no moving the trash out. So it's, yeah.
Thank you for the kind words. Now back to the thing, Marco, you showed us also the trust. It's hard for a person who is in let's say in the management to show this kind of trust to a small company, which is Sunry. We are now 20, 21 person. I would say also we experienced growth together with you. We when we started working with you, me at least, we were 5 persons, Marco, and now we are at 20, 21 person, and it's hard to give the trust, but you gave it to us, especially we didn't test. You gave us also QA role, QA position. Also, I think it relates to your previous answer, back to trust and everything. But yeah, thank you for that one also.
I'm actually happy because regardless of what size you would have had at the beginning or something, I think what's great about our collaboration is whatever we said before. It's just trust base. It's just also fun to work together because and we need to also go one step back. At the beginning, there's always like work, right? So we're still in a business context. So the fundament is great, right? So you guys deliver input, you deliver solutions, and all that is great. And then on top, we can have fun. And if in this, and we need to also, without getting political or whatever, I mean, keep in mind 2018, 2019, the pandemic happened, then the energy crisis happened. So it wasn't easy for everyone, right? A lot of startups were shutting down and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that the also now talking to other agencies, mm-hmm. it's difficult, right? There's
difficult
a lot of
times,
companies
yeah.
Shutting down. There's not much new clients that you obtain. And I'm really, really happy as well that not through us, right? That's what it was all on your own. But this, that we could also be part of your growth process. And it makes me happy as well.
Yes, definitely.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you. And based on this trust, I remember when we started growing into more, let's say, people, then we needed to invest more time inside our company for the meetings, organization, one-on-ones and everything, processes, a way of working. I remember that I asked you like in February when Maida came, please, can you give me one day off? I needed to put all of the meetings for the company in that one day. And I acknowledged you that soon I will be leaving colleagues, not leaving fully, but that the time is coming that somebody also will replace me. And that's the matter of trust. I didn't hide this from you. I was even logging less and less hours beside these four days because I was trying to pile up this CEO thingy where Sandy took the CTO role in our company. We split it because we have many persons in company and we need to be the best at all positions. And you showed the understanding and even in some cases advices. So I would like to thank you also for that part. You're welcome. And when the moment came, I remember I was on vacation. Moment came when I will tell you the decision. And I was struggling. That was like a burnout for me. Too many stuff piling up. And when I cannot finish stuff, it hurts me inside. It hurts me. And when I came from vacation, I knew that something was bothering me. But the morning when I came to job, I knew that it was time to, unfortunately, go off the colleagues. And it was last year, I'm not sure which month, when Omer got birth, my second baby. And it was a tough decision and a bit emotional for me because I worked for 8 or 9 companies before the Colex and before starting own company with Sandy. In all of those companies, I didn't felt this, I would say, chemistry between some of the team members, which especially Hustu is on the front line, you, Marco, as our supervisor from the top. And it was a hard decision for me, definitely. When I also spoke to our employees, and but still we are part of it with the Sunray, which I'm grateful. And again, you showed us the trust. Again, okay, Rehan, we understand you. We completely see what is happening behind this one. We are going to support you. And you and one more time, thank you. And you gave us the switch person for me, which was also a bit less experienced and everything. And yeah.
By the way, I want to add something interesting anecdote. You said that like you have left colleagues, but I still see your comments in the PR sometime, like checking the code quality.
I'm involved.
I guess responsibility stays there.
But I'm involved with Riyad because me and Riyad are something like you and me. We're in colleagues also. And I'm helping them out because I know also the business logic, not pretty much well, but I know the system. And sometimes they just need the help from the system-wise or architectural-wise of the KeepWeb, because I have done most of the job with you. And if you remember, most of the refactoring is Rehan routes, this, everything. And he just came, Rehan, what is this? What's this concept? Oh, that, and Riyad goes away. And sometimes in PR, when they are bigger and Riyad tells me, Rehan, please, can you take a look? I'm okay-ish, but I want your eyes on there, and then I take a look.
So the work still continues, actually.
Yes.
Just
when
not
I have time, yes, sometimes, definitely.
Yeah, the interesting part is because this one decision was even easier because at the end, we know that neither your nor our jobs is this classical 9-to-5, mm-hmm. right? That's for sure. But as we always communicated also about you growing and it's good, it's obvious. I mean, second child being born, your company growing, mm-hmm. At the same time, coding for us. I mean, you need to get some sleep at one point, right? So as one crucial part is that, yes, there's a working contract and both sides need to be fulfilled and all that stuff. It's not like 20 years ago where people were sitting with a bamboo stick behind you, forcing you to work. Even more nowadays, it's important to also keep a balance. Let's say between because it mixes, right? Due to this home office, your private and your work and life mix a little, and that's why it's even more important that you get to separate that. And that was for me. That was a very easy one once you told me. Although for you it was apparently like a hard decision. For me it was like, no, obviously you're leading this company together with Sandy. You're growing. You need to care about your people. You need to care about your family. And you still only have 24 hours per day. So that is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Seeing you, as you phrased it, after your like own 10-hour day, then doing another 1-2 hours for colleagues just coding something, felt like, no, that's just wrong. So I'm absolutely...
Definitely.
Would even say if I would have known that, we probably would have said, Rehan, okay, just give us somebody else
that
can do the job.
And also, Rehan is one of those guys, you know, like, even if you try to separate it, when you use that time for colleagues, we know that you're going to 100% there focused, and you won't be available for anything else.
Yeah.
Because it's that kind of mentality you have.
Definitely. To sum up this conversation, are there some negatives? I would like to hear them. I'm not that this is like flourishing and everything that you experienced with us, maybe that you would like to do it differently or to give us some kind of advice or something regarding this cooperation, collaboration.
I would have something, but no. No, it's like sometimes it's the as in feedback cultures, criticism is given more often than positive stuff, for sure. So it's really if you set up feedback cultures in a company, how does it work, right? Typically people will come and say, hey, this doesn't work good. So they will talk about things that don't work good. So praising is something that is not happening too often. And I tell you in a second why I make this story now about your question, which feels like it's not the right answer to that. And then you have feedback talks with your employees, right? And yes, you talk about achievements and about some things about the future, but you're always trying to grow your employees as well, right? Giving like criticism, positive criticism, to make them like grow, right, at the very end. And I think we talked in this in a couple of meetings as well that sometimes it's strange because sometimes there's simply nothing. Although you're trying, really, that's really strange because sometimes you need to try to figure out some phrase for criticism or something that can be better. And always anything, not anything, something could be better. But I would, because you asked this question explicitly, there's nothing really that I have in mind on the journey, the long journey we had so far, where I remember, and I remember things pretty well, where I would say, well, this wasn't a cool move, or I would have wished for more, because and this is outstanding. That's why also our collaboration is so nice and outstanding, is that there was always, you jumped in when there was a problem, you were there when you offered, even the moment when you needed to change something, Sandy or with yourself, you were able also to offer replacement or a different option.
And support,
unfortunately, I would really like to think about anything that could have been done better, but somehow naturally from the very beginning, we had
a very
friendly communication, a very friendly collaboration. And let's keep on doing that.
I have one actually. I would wish to have more visits, man.
We
to
came
do
now.
Something
next,
together.
Next is on you. Next is on you. Then next will be on us.
Yeah.
It is a classical nearshore offshore problem, right? That communication is a little more difficult than just seeing you every day, because also this is right. We talked about team building at the beginning, that. Or Paris, right? That you cannot form a team with just all the same type of people. If you have a team on site, it still takes months before they know each other. They know whom can I go for this problem, and then you start forming a team. And this is super difficult remote. That's why also this whole home office remote work has a lot of benefits, but also has a lot of challenges, I would say. And this is the same for us here, just everyone being in home office, as if you have somebody nearshore at the very end. It's...
Yeah, and thinking of now, Marco Husno, maybe if we didn't also do those visits, maybe it would be a bit different. Yes, we had a trust from the beginning and everything, but also those visits somehow bonded us even more in some perspective, definitely, and now even. True Berlin.
Yes, we had really nice stories, like right to tell, you know.
And it's the same thing as celebrating successes. Also, that's an important part, right? And I'm not meaning. I mean, we are a beverage company, so there will be alcohol included. But you can celebrate successes on a different level. But it's important for a team to go out to just have some fun, right? Whatever it might be. It could be bowling, could be whatever, could be going to a cinema.
Sweet, and dinner, whatever.
Everything that bonds you together, let's say, and where you can just say, hey, we finished this project now, and it's also breathe a little, and I think you're absolutely right that the visits that were possible from both sides on this journey that definitely also even strengthened the bonding, I would say.
I know the guy Samar, also Riyad and Maida, when we were entering the office, oh, where is Ajay?
Right? Everyone knows each other.
Because of the visits, and Jan also, especially Jan is the guy. That kind of bonding also strengthened because of these visits. So next time we are expecting you, maybe not this year, but we will see. If you want.
Sure. With pleasure.
Okay, that's it. Thank you very much, guys, for everything, for hosting us here, and for cooperation. And let's move forward and see where this journey is going to lead us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, man.